Tonight. We're glad to see each other here, and we're thankful that God has brought us our pastor so we can have an evening service.
Amen.
So that's always a blessing and encouragement to be able to do that. It's interesting, he mentioned this song in Sunday school, and I already had it for tonight's service. 620 Awkward Christian Soldiers. 620, let's stand please as we sing. 620. Constant will remain. Hell can't prevail because of the promises of God. All right. Let's have an opening word of prayer with Jim Bush.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this gathering tonight.
here, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for a pastor that we have, Lord. Give him words to say, Lord, as he preaches today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that his closing comes up quick, Lord, and that he can get up here as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for our country, Lord, and the state that it's in, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life, Lord. And we can just go out and tell all the people about Jesus Christ, Lord, and bring them to the hope, Lord, that you have for us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things, Lord. Give us safety as we go home today, Lord, and in our travels during the week, Lord. And give you the praise and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray always. Amen.
You may be seated. 622. We're marching to Zion. Sunday, it's Wednesday. So, but we leave all that in the Lord's hands, and hopefully whatever is coming will be dealt with by the time Wednesday comes. We'll see what the Lord does, but we're looking forward to Pastor being here and hearing more from the Word. So hopefully we'll have our Wednesday prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing what the Lord will do in that service from 2 Peter, Lord willing. And then the other announcement I have is this week is Florence's birthday. She turns 95. And she hasn't been able to come for quite some time because of her physical condition. But she can still do a lot for the Lord, and she's doing that. I don't know about all of you, but over the last 3-plus years, I've felt her prayer and many others in bringing us to this point we're at now.
Amen.
And so it's a real blessing. And anyway, there is a birthday card for her up here on the organ. If you did not already do so, if you would like to write a little note of encouragement to her, you could certainly do that following the service. That's all I have from me. Pastor, do you want to mention anything right now, or do you want to wait until later?
I'm going to try this, because I know the church's anniversary is first week of
February.
So I'd like to try to do that. We won't be here. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we will. I'd like to do some, mention it to me, a little like potluck dinner or something afterwards to kind of celebrate a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody's interested in doing that, we'll try to get that worked out to celebrate the church's anniversary. So that would be the first Sunday in February.
Okay. So that will be the 7th of February. The 31st is this next Sunday. So it'll be the 7th of February. All right. And we are still planning to have our normal services that day, correct? Okay. So it'll have to be a fast turnaround for the luncheon, but we'll do the best we can with all that. So
we'll try that Sunday night, too, to do Lord's Supper also. We'll try to do it now. Different little way because of the COVID stuff.
Right.
We're going to try to put one on my heart. We're going to try to do it again that Sunday. That Sunday evening also. So.
Okay. If anyone didn't hear that, there's the anniversary celebration he was talking about for a dinner following the service downstairs, and then in the evening service that night, he would like to do the Lord's table. It's going to be modified, and he'll let us know how that will be set up, but it's going to be modified because of the current conditions we're facing. But we still want to remember what the Lord has done for us. Amen? So, okay, that's great. All right, the last thing for me before we get back to our singing is let's take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We've been going over our memory verse for the last couple of weeks. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're looking at verse 9 right now. Eventually we'll be learning verse 10 as well. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9. Give you all just a moment to turn to it if you didn't get to it yet. While you're turning, just a reminder to everybody, Proverbs, the book previous to this, was written when Solomon was a much younger man. And he was living for the Lord the way that he should. Eventually, he married a lot of foreign wives and had a lot of concubines, and all of them turned his heart from the Lord, and he was not doing what he should. And as a result, his son, the very next king, the kingdom was divided during that time. And Solomon learned at the end of his life what he should have been doing. And anyway, the theme of the book of Ecclesiastes is the vanity of life apart from God. So, but anyway, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9, let's say it together. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. All right. All right. For our next song, let's turn to 656. 656. Send the light.
Shine, come true.
song before the special and the message. It was another old song, and some of you may not know it. I hope everybody knows it. 670, You May Have the Joy Bells Ringing in Your Heart. 670. If you're able to stand, why don't we do some of this? 670.
Thank you, brothers. It's a blessing to know you can take the Lord's hand when you're going through troubles, and I'll see you through. Amen. If you take your Bibles this evening, we're going to continue on with our study in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And this evening, Lord willing, we're going to look at here at verse number 4 and 5 this evening. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you could stand, if you can, if you're able, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Paul says to those in Thessalonica, here in verse number 4, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you, for your sake." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again just for the opportunity to come here this evening, Lord. Thank you for these precious songs that we could sing. Lord, I thank you for the brethren, Lord. I just thank you, dear God, just to be able to hear, be here this evening, Lord, and just be around the brethren. It's already been a blessing to me, dear God. I thank you for this day, dear God, and for your word. Lord, I ask you to just help us as we finish up this last hour here, dear God. Give us what we need. Lead, God, and direct, Father. Give me the words to speak, dear God, no more, no less. Lord, that you be glorified and honored. We ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So picking up here in 1 Thessalonians, we've already looked through verses 1 through 3. Paul talking to the church there, and he says in verse number 4, he says, let's get the context. Jump back up to verse number 2 because it's a continuing sentence. Verse number 2, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Verse number 4 now this evening. "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes." So he finishes up the sentence there in verse number 4, saying, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Now, I don't know about you, sometimes when I see those words, predestinate, predestination, election, I start getting all like, oh no, you know. But if you just put it in the context that it's in, Paul's telling them, he's saying, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your," not God's election, this is your election of God. You see what it says? It says, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Well, what does election mean? Election means this in the dictionary. It means the act of choosing, choice. The act of selecting one or more from others, voluntary preference, free will, liberty to act or not. So Paul says here, "Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." We just had an election in November. You could have voted, you could have not have voted. That was your choice. That was your election. Then you could take it a step further. If you did decide to vote, now you make another election. You make another choice, and it's all free will. Okay? It's your decision to choose who you want to choose. And Paul's telling the church here, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." He's acknowledging that that church there has elected to follow and love God because of what Paul had put forth earlier. The brethren at Thessalonica chose to love, to have God in their lives. They chose to be saved through the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not forced. We are not Calvinistic. We have a choice. Brother, you mentioned something, I think a couple weeks ago, we were talking about predestination, election, when something with the songs. And I heard a preacher one time say that on the outside of the door it says Arminianist, and on the inside of the door it's Calvinist. You say, what does that mean? Arminianist on the outside, you have free will, you have a free choice. You can accept Christ or not. You're going to come to the cross of Calvary and have your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is your choice, that is your decision, whether you come to God or not. But once you're in, you can't say, well, you know what, it was nice being saved, but I'm not going to be saved no more, I'm going to do my own thing. No, now you're bought with a price, you're not your own. Does that make sense? So you have a choice on the outside. But once you're in Christ, you cannot say, I no longer want to be in Christ. It'd be like your hand saying to the rest of the body, I appreciate you allowing me to be a part of your body for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, but I think I no longer want to be your hand. And your hand saying, just picking up and walking off someday. that's what it's like, because once you're in the body, you are now part of the body of Christ. It'd be as crazy as your eye saying, I no longer want to be part of your body. You can't do that. Your hand can't do that. Once you're part of the body, you're always part of the body. You will always be a son of God once you're saved. And there's nothing you can do to change that. So you have a free will out there, but once you come in, you're now bought with a price. You're now not your own because you're bought with a price, and you're now Christ. Okay? So he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. The book of Joshua, chapter 24 and verse number 15. Joshua 24, 15. And I will say this, brethren, I'm thankful that I don't have to keep my salvation. Right? So I was raised Pentecostal, so I believed up to the point to where I got saved, I believed you could lose it. And it was starting to drive me crazy. You can ask my, because she was raised Pentecostal too, my wife. And there were times I'd come home, when the Lord was really starting to deal with me about things, I would come home to her and just be like, I've lost my salvation. I lost it today. I did this, I did that. Surely I can't be saved. Surely I lost the Holy Spirit. And it was troublesome. There's no way if you sit back and you think that you can keep your salvation. It is, if you're honest, if you're an honest individual, there is no way that you can keep your own salvation. It's impossible. Thank the Lord it's settled in Christ, and I don't have to worry about keeping it. He keeps me and holds my hand. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, verse number 15. Joshua says to the children of Israel, and he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They have chosen, and you will see it further on in Thessalonians, they have chosen to reject their gods, and now they serve the true and living God. That was their election. That was their choice. Okay? So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and let's look at verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 5. He says next, he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. The first thing Paul says here, he says, for our gospel. I make this little sentence here. It says, we don't claim to be saved because we can tell others about the story of Jesus Christ, but that we are the story about what Christ has done for us. Okay? Is it your gospel also? Paul says, for our gospel. Okay? Is it now your gospel? Fanny Crosby wrote that song, Amazing Grace. And she says, I once was blind, but now I see. It is now her gospel because she now sees. She's no longer blind. You say, well, what is gospel? Again, the definition in the 1828 dictionary, Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says the gospel. It says it's the history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascension, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. Or a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator, including the character, actions, and doctrines of Christ with the whole scheme of salvation as revealed by Christ and his apostles. And this is found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, if you turn on over there. For our gospel, it is now Paul's gospel. It should now be our gospel if we're now in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1. The gospel is to be received, believed, and stood upon. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1. Paul tells this church, he says here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. See, it's now their gospel, which also we received, and wherein we stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me as all, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Okay? So the gospel, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there in verses 3 through 4. Okay? So Paul says, for our gospel, the first part there in 1 Corinthians says that Christ died for our sins. Take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 53. The gospel talks about another gospel, right? If another gospel comes to you. Well, there's some out there that don't believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Well, if Jesus Christ didn't die for our sins, that's not the gospel. Okay, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 10. Isaiah 53 and verse number 10. Isaiah 53 verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who? Jesus Christ, his son. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse number 11. And he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify, many, for he shall bear their iniquities. The gospel says, for I deliver to you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. If somebody comes to you and says something about Jesus Christ, but then they mention that he's not God, that's a false gospel. If they come in and they say he didn't die for our sins, that's a false gospel. Not only did he die for our sins, the Bible says he became sin for us, which is even more miraculous to think about. That Christ Jesus became sin. Not just took on sin, the Bible says he became sin for us. What a God. Think about all the wretched things that sin does and that sin is. No wonder Christ prayed there in agony in the garden about that cup that he had to drink. And he sweat great sweat droplets of blood as it were blood, because of the agony he was in, because I believe he realized that I have to become sin. Listen, all Christ has known is perfect fellowship with the Father, holiness, purity. And now he's being asked to take that cup of sin for you and I and to drink of it, to become sin for you and I, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is such a wonderful verse. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. That is the gospel, and that is my gospel, as Paul says there. For our gospel came unto you. Okay? So, Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. But look what Paul says next in verse number 5 in 1 Thessalonians. He says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Paul just didn't speak what Christ had done, but was and had a true witness and testimony for the Lord. You see, Paul just didn't come in and just tell these people about what Jesus had done. His life backed up what he was saying. There was power behind his words. It wasn't just a mere statement that Paul said about Christ dying for our sins and that you have a new life in him and that he can change you and make you a new creature. Paul lived it, and there was power behind it through the Holy Ghost. Too many today can talk the talk, but have never been truly born again. They might say the right words, but is their fruit bearing witness to what they're saying? Do you understand, brethren? I say here, some people say that, well, they've been saved for 20 years, but they haven't been in church. So you're saying you've been saved for 20 years and you haven't stepped foot in a church? I'd have to question that. Do you have a real salvation that is alive today? I don't care what's been done 20, 30, 40 years ago. Does it bear witness to you today? Is there fruit? What did John say? Jesus said, ye shall know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit is being put forth? If you're born again of God, number one, you should be putting forth fruit. And then if not, you should be suffering chastisement. One of the two. Whereof all are partakers. See, a lot of people can say the right words, but there's no power, there's no backing behind it. And sometimes I wonder if they're truly born again or if they just gone through the motions. Okay, that's one of the things that I take very serious is this notion by some churches just get people to pray a quick prayer. No, that thing did damage to me, and I know it did damage to my wife, and I can't stand it. That high pressure. Well, just pray. No, you say preacher, but the preacher they might go to hell. Trust God. What? Look at your example of Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Paul do in Acts? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, all you got to do, King Agrippa, is just pray. No. Paul said, not only you, but all that are here. Paul left that. Look, this is what you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You take it and you give it to them. You preach, you teach, you live your life, you put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, your testimony, and you put it there and you let them hold it. And now it's up to them and the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth that you put forth, now it's in their hands. Trust God. But too many preachers today and individuals, they want to take this and just jam it down their throat. No. Trust God and let the Holy Spirit do the work. Amen. Now, I'm not saying if they got questions, answer their questions. If they want you to pray with them, pray with them. But don't ever be like, well, just repeat this. And now if you just repeat this, you're in. Oh, no. You could say all the words all day long. That don't mean nothing. Where's the heart at? There's some stories. Sometimes I think we're looking at it as sales techniques. There's some churches that do. They put across classes. It's almost like you're selling rainbow vacuum cleaners. It's serious. It's funny, but it's sad, and it does great damage. And I believe in our churches, we got a lot of stillbirths. They ain't never truly been born again of God, because it's not what I got, and that's where I got the problem. You're saying you got what I... But we're just something different here. What God did for me. I didn't need nobody to lead me in a prayer when God was dealing with me. I just cried out to God. I knew God was dealing with me. I didn't need no help from nobody. I mean, if he was preaching, I was like, oh, I know what I am. Come, Lord, I'm vomit. Save me. Boom. Immediately changed. In an instant. But see, when I was younger, VBSs and things like that, I ain't got no problem with that in a sense, but... The problem comes in is now, okay, I want to get a bunch of decisions for these kids just to say that they get saved. Leave it with God. And I'm going to give you a testimony, brethren, about my own children. I got four kids. And all four of them got saved this last year. My last son got saved 2 weeks ago. Amen. One was 22 when he got saved. One was 19 when he got saved. My son just got saved. Now is also 19 when he got saved. My daughter was 15. You don't think there was pressure on me to say, like, right when they're there, well, Dad, and you know what I would tell them? Go pray. Go wrestle it out with God. Do like Jacob did. You really want it? Go in that room and wrestle with God. And you know how the devil plagued me on that? Well, you're prohibiting them from getting saved. They want to know God. They don't want to go to hell. And God said, keep your mouth shut. They know what they need to do. They've been raised in church. My pastor, if you look at my notes, I got like 50 cross references. My pastor at home, he'll go through all 50 cross references. I try to tailor back quite a bit. But what I say that in respect to my pastor, that he thoroughly goes through the Word of God. And my kids have been raised in that church. They know what the gospel is. They know what Jesus did. They know where hell's at. And they know where heaven's at. They know what Christ has done for them. And you know what I did? I left it in God's hands. And you know how many times the devil plagued me at night and I'd cry in my car and I'd cry in my room and say, God, is there anything more I could do for my kids for them to get saved? God, why aren't they getting saved? What am I doing wrong, God? And I look around, all these other people, their kids are getting saved and all that. And the Lord says, just leave it alone, Chris. Keep praying. And slowly, one by one by one, coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you know what I started seeing? When they started getting serious about trying to find God, I'd find them. I'd find them outside of the morning time when they usually tried to read their Bible. I'd find them in the afternoon. They come home from work, and I peek around the corner of their room, and they got a Bible open. I just back on away. You see, we're missing something today, brethren, because we're scared. And I understand why we're scared. I understand the fear that the enemy could put in our mind because we don't want to see anybody go to hell. But I think there's a greater damage when you force it. Because now you make them twofold more a child of hell than they were before. They compass land and sea to make one proselyte. And when he is made, they'll make him, I'm paraphrasing, twofold more a child of hell. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Because they so bad want to see people come to Christ. I get it. But there comes to a point that only the work, there's only a work that the Holy Ghost can do. Put it forth and trust God. And if the enemy jumps in your mind, take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done all I could. And ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything else that I can do to make this plainer for them to see what Jesus Christ has done for them? And then leave it alone and back away. And let them wrestle that thing out with God. I've seen it work out in my life. Before I come up here, I was praying. I said, Lord, I pray, God, save my last son. Save him before I come up here. I don't want to leave down there with him being the last one, God. All three of them this year, Lord, you've done wondrous things, dear God. Just this last one, God, I pray that he'd get in right before I leave. And sure enough, he did. But leave it with God. Let them wrestle that with the Lord. Don't force it. And I say all to say this, for it says, for our gospel came not in you in word only. Not just the words, but power. I know what God did in my life. And I know I now have the power of God dwelling within me through the Holy Ghost. I know it. I'd have to lie to say I don't. And if you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. There's just something different when you get saved. It's like the lights come on. And even the hymn book, when you sing it, it's like the words are different than before. Because the Holy Ghost now dwells within you. He says power. Well, what is power? In a philosophical sense, it's the faculty of doing or performing anything. The faculty of moving or producing a change in something. That's what the Holy Ghost does. He produces a change in you. It gives you ability or strength. That's power. Listen, there should be the power of God behind all that a believer does. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. We won't be much longer. I just want to get through these last few thoughts. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. This is to the early church. Lord talking to his disciples before he left out. He says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Flip on over to chapter number 3 and look at verse number 12. Acts chapter 3, verse number 12. The church is now on the scene. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 12. And look what Peter says. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why looks ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Look down at verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Peter tells him it's not by their power, but by the Holy Ghost. Look over at chapter 4 real quick and verse number 31. Chapter 4, same book, verse 31. And when they had prayed, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, there's boldness, there's power there. It's just not words. It's just not them talking. There's some power behind it. But that power comes from the Holy Ghost, which will give you boldness. Look, that still applies to us today right there. You need boldness? I believe the Holy Spirit will give you boldness. I pray for boldness. I pray for boldness that God will give me boldness to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are out there in this world. All right? So we need the power of God in our lives also to show the change that has produced. Okay? It gives us the ability and strength to live for and be a witness for our Lord. The Holy Ghost is who gives us this power. Real quick, look at Romans chapter 15, verse number 18. Romans 15, 18. I'm almost done. Romans 15, 18. Paul told those in Thessalonica, for our gospel came on you in word also, in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 18. Romans 15, 18. This says here. It says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not... Well, am I in the right spot? Romans 15, 18, yep. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Paul says here that it's evident by the power of God. And the last thing he says, and in much assurance. Assurance means this: firm persuasion, fully confident or trust, freedom from doubt. Their testimony, witness, and preaching didn't cause doubt in the ears and hearts of those who heard what was being preached and spoken of there by Paul, the truth that he was putting forth. All right, I'm going to close with these thoughts. Now, what Paul was saying to Thessalonica, I'm going to say this, and I said it earlier. When you put forth the gospel and live the gospel, this doesn't always mean that all that hear will get saved. Okay? But they will know that truth has been put forth. I believe that. I believe when you're truly born again, you're saved, and you live for God, people are going to know that there's something just not right with you. Something's different. Okay, you're not what you used to be. You're not speaking the way you used to be. You're not talking the way you used to be. You're going to church more. You talk about Jesus, and what, there's a change there. Now, that they'll see that change, but it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to want that change. Okay? They knew Jesus Christ was different. But the Bible, Jesus says, the world hated me, and if it hated me, it's going to also hate you. So, no doubt, look, brethren, don't get discouraged. Jesus rose people from the dead, and they wanted to kill him. So how can we expect anything different? Jesus rose, he brought Lazarus back from the dead, and people there saw it, and instead of being blown away that a man came out of a grave after 4 days, they're running back and telling the Pharisees and tattletaling on what Jesus is doing. And they just saw a man get raised from the dead. We can't expect anything different, people to treat us any different. But they'll know that truth has been among them and around them when you live for Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit bears witness to it. Okay? So, this is all that the Lord requires of us. All the Lord requires of us is just be faithful. Live for God. Be a testimony. To be filled with His Spirit, have the power of God behind our lives and our preaching, our teaching, and live with confidence that we are in the perfect will of God. Make sure, like I said this morning, if you're where you need to be with God, good. stay there and go forward. And we leave the rest to the Lord and know I've done all that I can do. I've done my duty. I've done the orders that my Father has given me today. Wake up every morning, receive your orders from the Father, from Jesus Christ, and march forward onward, Christian soldiers, and just do your duty. And then leave the rest in the hands of our Father. That's his realm. That's his doing. You just be faithful in the area that he has you in. Like Brother Ralph said this morning, your little sphere, I don't know if what preacher said that was up here, your little sphere of influence, stay faithful in there and do what you're supposed to do, and then leave the rest in the hands of God. The last verse I want you to look at is in Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Hebrews 2 and verse number 1. We'll close with this. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If anything slipped in your life, just get back right with God. That's all. Pick back up, make it right with the Lord, and keep going forward. If you slipped up, pick it up and keep going forward. Verse number 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now that was to establish the church. That was like the mark of authority that was coming from God by those miracles and those works that they were able to do. We no longer do those works. We don't have the gifts of healing and miracles and all that. That doesn't take place today because we now have the word of God. We now have a more sure word of prophecy. Okay? This is where it's at now. You say, well then what is those things that God also will bear witness to? The fruit of spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness, gentleness, goodness, faith. All those things now is what the Holy Spirit will now, God will bear witness to. I said it before. You say, well, how is that like miracles and signs and wonders? Brethren, when everything falling apart in this world, it's a miracle for somebody to see somebody that has joy. Serious, that's a miracle in some people's eyes. To see love. You love me? Why would you love me? Well, because Jesus Christ loves me and he's given me now the ability to love you. Yeah, but I don't deserve to be loved. You're right, you don't deserve to be loved, but God still loves you. And I'm going to love you for Jesus' sake. That's a miracle. Sometimes we look at people and we look at their situations, and sometimes I think we turn our noses up to them because they're not like us. What's your first reaction if you go out this week, Monday or something, and you go into a gas station or something, and you see a young man or young woman behind the counter, and they got these huge earrings and things in their ears. I forget what it's called now. They're all tattooed up, half the side of their face, half their hair is cut off, it's dyed purple. And they got earrings everywhere. Your first thought is, maybe it is mine, sometimes it is. It's like, you know, you're scared of them in a sense. But they need to be loved. They need the gospel just as much as anybody else needs the gospel. But our first thought of them is, not them. They're too rough. They're too hard. They're too far gone. Well, are they? I'll give you a testimony. There was a young man, this was years ago now in our church when we were down there in Charleston. And I remember the first time I saw him, he walked through the church, into the church building. We had a tiny little building, and he came in with shorts and a t-shirt, and he was with his wife. And he had tattoos all over his arm. He was a big old boy, too. He's big. Just, I said, oh, they ain't never coming back. In my mind, it's like, they're never coming back again. They'll stay here for just a little bit this morning, but I don't even going to see them again. And he's one of my closest brothers now. Amen. Right? He's on fire, living for God, loves the Lord. He is a great encouragement to me. He said his church down, he's in Washington, D.C. now. He's in the Navy. He said he went to church. Their church has a prayer meeting every Saturday morning with the men, and they were praying for us to get a house, and he was all excited that God answered the prayer. But the first time I saw him walk through the door, I said, oh, he ain't never. You see, because of my own perception, because he's got a bunch of tattoos on him, and he looks like he's rough, and he looks like he's tough, that he doesn't want the gospel, or the gospel can't do anything for him. What a fool I am. Brethren, there's people out there that need to be loved. There's people out there that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter, in my eyes, it doesn't matter what they look like. And if they come in this church and they look like they just come, I'm going to go up to them and I'm going to try to talk to them. And I'm going to try to love them, not because of the love maybe that I have, but the love that Jesus Christ has given me to love them. That's a miracle. That's a wonder of God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. And people are going to see that and they're going to take notice of it. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get saved, but they're going to know that something's different in your life and what God's done for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this evening. Lord, I thank you for these precious brethren. Lord, I pray you just forgive me for all those times, dear God, that I just make calls of my own, dear God, of what I think somebody's like. Lord, I look on the outward appearance, Lord, but Lord, you say you look on the heart. Lord, you don't look on the outward appearance. And God, I pray, Father, that you would just have us, help us all, myself included, dear God, first and foremost, to have a heart for people. Lord, for those that are lost, that are dying, dear God, that are going to hell, Lord, that don't even know truth, they don't even know what the Bible is. There's people out there today, Lord, there's young people out there today that have never even heard of a Bible. Lord, help us, Lord, bring them across our path. Dear God, help us to be faithful soldiers. Help us, Lord, help us to have that boldness when you prick our heart or are giving us a little push or shove to talk to somebody, to give them a track. Lord, give us that boldness to do so. Lord, it may just be what that individual needs in that specific time. Help us to be sensitive. Help us to have discernment. And help us to walk with you and to love you as a church and as individuals. Lord, I pray you just be with my precious brethren through this week. Watch over them, keep them safe. And Lord, if it be your will, I pray you bring us together again on Wednesday evening. Lord, help us to love you more. We ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'd like to close with a hymn. Could you hand me that blue hymn? I had it picked out and I marked it there. Yeah, page number 434. He keeps me singing. Page number 434. And if you can, if you're able, please stand. If you're able to sing unto Jesus Christ, page number 434. He keeps me singing.
Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. tonight, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that you delivered us the gospel of Jesus Christ, that someone cared enough to tell us about it.
Yes.
Your Word tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In that same passage there, Romans chapter 10, the Bible says they will not hear it without a preacher. And it also says there will not be a preacher unless someone is sent. And you have made it clear in your Word that you have sent us. So help us to be faithful in, by our lives, to be the testimony that we should be. All of us, particularly myself, find it very difficult to do that because of the day and age in which we live. When we are not quite where we ought to be, and we're, for that particular moment, living in the flesh, it's easy to get irritated and upset by what is going on rather than looking to you for our help in dealing with whatever the problem might be. Help us to be that example of what a Christian should be, so that when others see how we are living our lives, they will say, hey, there's something different about you, and I want to know what it is. And when that time comes, help us be ready to give them an answer of the hope that lies within us. But help us to do so with meekness and fear and humility before you, recognizing that we are nothing. We are only something by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we pray that we would take heed to the warning given to us tonight. Thankful for the book of 1 Thessalonians and what you did in that church all those years ago through the preaching of Paul. And we're thankful that you preserved your Word for us today, so that even 2,000 years later, we could still have your Word and understand what it means for us right now in the time we live. Thank you that your Word never gets old. Dismiss us now with your presence. May we be faithful this week. And whatever it is you bring across our path, do right and do good for you. Give us safety as you travel home. We do pray that you will be able to have our service on Wednesday evening, and that you would bring us all back here according to your will and your way. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brandon Smith, love y'all.